Okay, we're here on Daf Chof Vav Amud Aleph. So let's read through the Gemara, and then I want to show you the sugya in Bava Kamma. The Gemara here tells us on the top line in Chof Vav Amud Aleph, and we still have a lot to finish up back on Chof Beis Amud Beis, so we'll have to come back to that at some point. And it'll all fit into this sugya as well. Debay Bar Marion Berei Deravin. No, that's a breathful. Ki havi nafti kisna, havi azla raksa umazka inchi. So who can tell me what's going on over here? Does anybody know what raksa is? Rashi says, masha minarim mina pishton.
Flax,
correct. So what does minarim mean? Linaer, like linaer tatalit.
Oh.
To stretch or to
wave.
To wave, to beat, you know, like you have something stuck in your talus, or for example, you have flax and you have to beat it out in order to get this raksa out. What's this raksa? When you have flax, there are pieces of chaff, or what's called in Hebrew ni'ores, and the ni'ores has to be removed in order to process the flax. So he was doing this, apparently in a public area. And we'll see how I know this later. Umazki inchi. People were being damaged, right? Could you imagine if this stuff flies into your eye? So there's a tremendous force that's going into the flax and causing the flying, you know, the chaff to fly. And it's going into people's eyes, if you will. Now, what do you notice about the direction here? What's the direction of the person who's pounding on the flax and the direction of the raksa that's flying out of the flax? Is it the same direction or a different direction?
Oh, different.
It's a different direction, right? Right, because you're hitting it this way, but it's flying back this way. It's sort of like boomeranging in your face. Would that be significant, do you think?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he can also hurt himself.
Number one, he could also hurt himself. What else?
It's like the water that it like changes direction. So we say it's different.
Right. We had a sugya about Metzia that we tried to touch on last time, where the water goes down and then it moves, you know, from vertical to horizontal in order to hit the guy on the head below. So all that discussion about going one direction and flying back in a different direction, or bouncing back, or regaining some sort of energy through some force, that all touches on one concept, which itself breaks down into sub-concepts, and that concept is called what? Anybody know? Koach ha'adam. Want to make a note of it? Because this is really the key to so many sugyas and shas. I'll give you an example. There's a famous sugya in Chulin called Bidka Demaya, which means that the water is being held back by a dam, and the force of the water hits up against this ledge, and then you remove the dam. Now the water can do all sorts of things. You freed its energy force. Are you chayav for that? Is it good for the tils yadayim? Is it called koach gavra as far as shechita is concerned? If the animal died as a result, would you be chayav on Shabbos for meleches shochet? A ton of questions. In fact, you're interested in medicine, right?
Yeah.
So you may come across these issues with regard to what a physician is allowed to do on Shabbos. We all may come into contact with issues of what a sick person is allowed to do on Shabbos. Have you ever heard on you all are familiar with Bayit Vegan, right? So in Bayit Vegan, what is it? Okay.
Shragi's there.
So in Bayit Vegan, on the way up to Rehov Uziel, coming right near HaPizgah, there's a Machon Lebayot HaTechnologia Bahalacha. And what they're doing is they're trying to find ways in which they can help people and use mechanics, electricity, and the like in such a way that they can circumvent the prohibitions of Shabbos and other prohibitions by making it something less than koach ha'adam. Now, the next level below koach ha'adam is called what? When you indirectly cause. Koach acher, excellent. Now, koach acher means either koach kocho, and then there's something called Koach, then there's something called grama. For example, I don't know if you've ever seen this. In America, I assume you can see it. I haven't seen it here. They have, for people who can't walk, they have chairs that are electrically motorized that you can use on Shabbos. Have you ever seen such a thing?
Yes, someone has one of those.
In Seattle also.
In Cincinnati?
Is this weird?
In Seattle, you've seen it?
Yeah.
I would never use it because it looks weird, but... But you're allowed to use that?
Well, I don't think, Ari, they'll allow you to use it. I'll tell you why. Because even if it's only grama, it reduces the iser significantly, but not significantly enough to make it mutter. So when will they utilize that? For somebody who can't walk. You know, it's for a chole. For a chole, they'll use it also to enhance your Shabbos. You've all heard of a Shabbos elevator, correct? A Shabbos elevator is fundamentally built on this analysis. Is it kocho? Are you causing the elevator to go up or down? Or is it grum? You are setting off a chain reaction.
Sending also, they just came out with lights. I don't know if you like... I don't know details.
You don't mean that Shabbos lamp, do you? No. That's okay for you and I. I mean, yeah, but
basically, like, you turn the switch, and there's like an eye that sees if like, the switch is up or down, and then like it goes up every like 30 seconds. So then, based on that, they turn on the lights. I don't know. It's like
they're using all sorts of methods to allow physicians to write things on Shabbos. Does anybody know which location in the entire globe is where these things are being? This is where they need them, and this is where they're using them. It's in Israel, but not in Beit Fagan. It's close to Beit Fagan. It's a certain hospital that I have in mind. Shari Tzedek Hospital. And Shari Tzedek is really putting a great deal of work into developing the technology together with the poskim to try to avoid violations in such a way that it's not koach ha'adam, but rather grama or koach kocha. Now, yeah?
This feels clap on lights.
I don't know what it looks like. Can you describe it?
You clap.
It goes on.
The light goes on.
Uh-huh.
Your clap. They're big in the 90s.
I would say that, you know, that would come under this sugi as well. You know, bro.
Like these clap on lights are so sensitive that if you make like any motion at all, like you go like this, like the light would just turn on. So
it it keeps going on and off.
Yeah, like if you want to be sarcastic, like you don't really bother your...
So they haven't really fine-tuned the technology yet. Yeah. Okay. So that's number one. Now, how does this all come back to Asugi of Raksa? Because in the Zikin, what do we need? In order to clamp down a Chiyuv Mazik, what do you need? You need Koach Adam. You know, it's got to be considered that you damaged him. So what would be the classical case of Koach HaAdam, about which there could be no doubt whatsoever?
Someone took a sword.
Correct. That's called Chovil B'Chavera. You know, where you bash the guy, or you use a kli, whether it's a sword or whatever you might need. So in Rotzeach, for example, that's called Achiv Rotzeach Mitzad Maisa Ritzicha, and in Ezekiel that would be called Achiv Mazik Alts Maisa Hezek. But what happens if it's a little bit more removed? For example, supposing you tie someone up in a place where he will eventually die. You know, he'll be run over by a locomotive, or the sun is going to come out and beat on him until he dies. What if someone's underwater and you close his escape route? In all these cases, you're not directly killing him, so it's not koach adam in the classical sense. What would you say about those cases? Grum. Okay, so that might not come under grumma. What if I throw something up in the air and it comes down again? Is that grumma?
No.
No, that's koach kocha. The Gemara and Makas. What do you say, Danny?
Gemara Makas, when you throw something at the tree and it hits the...
Excellent. Wow, I'm impressed. That's a famous sugi of koach adam, of koach kocha. Because what happens is, now notice the direction here, this is very critical. You throw something up in the date tree, and the dates come.
Fall, and they hit something.
And who do they kill?
They kill.
The Mazer or Bishogi?
That's
Bishogi. Bishogi. But even if it's Bishogi, you're not higher goal is Bishogi unless it's a Mazer Ritzich. In other words, when we ask the question, who's higher goal is, it's the flip side of who would be higher as a Rotzeh. Just that one case is shogeg, one case is mazik.
So in that case, let's say this is the tree. So if I throw something this way and then it hits a date and the date keeps on going that way, that would be different than if it changes direction.
Correct. Excellent. So when it boomerangs off something or you're throwing up and it comes down, it becomes a little bit more far removed to attach to your action the result on a different direction. But if it's in the same direction, so imagine if I push something and the wind pushes it in the same direction, it's possible that might be kocho. Why?
Because it's the same direction.
And what does that mean, since it's the same direction? See, you're right. If I describe it in terms of what it looks like, it's the same direction. But conceptually,
it's the same force.
Exactly. It could be considered the same force. And how could you consider the force of the wind as my force?
It's going in the same direction.
And therefore, what are you going to do with the force of the wind and my force? Could the wind have achieved its carrying without me?
No.
So that would be two questions. One question would be, let's say the wind could do it without it. You know, let's have something here sitting on the table, Danny. And the wind is going to carry it away anyway. That's case number one. Case number two is the wind can't get to it because it's too heavy or it's attached to something else. I break that attachment in such a way that now I make it available for the wind. Then it's my action together with the wind's action.
It's like shutfus.
It's like a shutfus. Excellent. And that's called in Hilchas Shabbos, it's called Zeino Yochel Vezeino Yochel, meaning if neither force can work in and of itself, let's say Reuven can't carry this luggage, it's too heavy. Shimon can't carry the luggage. And they both carry it together. So the Gemara has in Shabbos a separate sugya to pati you up. But otherwise, there might be a svar to integrate both Reuven and Shimon's kochos. But to the extent to which I see Reuven as a separate entity working on his own, Shimon as a separate person working on his own, I can't integrate them. But in the case of Ruach, there might be room to integrate them. And that's going to be our sugi of Raksa. Yeah.
The difference is like the Ruach is nature. It's like it's not my nature. So Apitava, that, you know, it's normal for something like this to occur. In the case of Shabbos, it's two separate and distinct individuals going and carrying the object.
So and each individual has a right, has his own personal chiv. Is that what you mean?
Right. The wind is a chiv?
Right, the wind is no chiv.
No, but it's not a din in the other one's chiv, it's a din in it's not my koch. It doesn't matter if we do it together in your chiv or if I do it with the wind. The fact is that it's not only my koch. It's a different koch.
It's a factor and nature also, you know, this is the way of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but I'm still using the way of the world to my advantage.
Now, I want to throw out another question here, which Rashi is going to touch on here. Supposing I prove to you that in Hilchas Shabbos, I can be chayav from Malach on Shabbos when I utilize a natural force. Would that therefore prove ipso facto that in Nezikin I could be chayav as a mazik if my Maisa Hezek has to utilize a natural force? With the paradigm of Shabbos, the model of Shabbos helped me decide whether or not natural forces can be integrated into my Maisa to make it into Koach HaAdam. Let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the following: Ki Asu Kamayu De Ravina. The case came in front of Ravina, and they wanted to stop these fellows. You know, give them a court injunction for all the sniputs that they were doing. They were being menapates, the kisna, and the raksa was flying in all directions, causing hezek. Amar lahu, he said. Now, who's he going to quote, Ravina? Rabbi Yossi, because we paskin. Right, take a look back in on Daf Chafeim and Beis. The Gemara uses Rav Yossi, right? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, five lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmul Halacha, Kirav Yossi. So do we accept the sheet of the Chachamim that whenever you're doing something that down the line will cause some sort of hezek, for example, you're planting a tree and the roots are going to come, that we can block you from planting the tree? That's called our Chachamim and Zikin. Do we accept the Chachamim?
No.
No, we don't. We accept Rabbi Yossi. It's very interesting that we accept Rabbi Yossi. And what does Rabbi Yossi say, Danny?
This is when it damages the new.
Rabbi Yossi says that the only time there's a chiv hachaka
is
giri delay. What's giri delay? How do you translate the words giri delay into English? Just literally. A literal translation of the words giri. Arrows. Giri is chitzim. Now, in our discussion today, where would you place chitzin in our whole discussion? What case did we discuss before that's similar to shooting an arrow? I'm saying, you see,
directly
stabs him, right? I mean, what's the difference between directly stabbing him or shooting an arrow at him? You understand? It's always his car. That's called kach adam. So when does Rabbi Yossi require achaka? Only when there's what? Kach adam. That's called giri delay. So says Ravina, this is not called giri delay. Take a look. He says, "Ki I'm reading about the Rabbi Yossi b'giri delay hani mili deka azla mikocho." So now Ravina sets up an equation: giri delay equals kocho. Correct. It's got to be kocho. And let's set up another equation: harchaka equals Rabbi Yossi equals giri delay. So if you basically start your whole train of thought with harchaka, and you want to know when the harchaka is activated, the answer is when it's a kocho situation. Correct. You go through A equals B. So now the Gemara says, but here it's not kocho. Why not? Hacha in this case zika or zeka who dekam mamtile. Let's translate that. The wind is carrying the raksa. So what is Ravina holding in terms of our definition of koch, of kocha? Can we integrate natural forces? No, we cannot integrate natural forces. Kocho, with the help of the wind, is not called kocho. Is that clear?
Wait, so this is still the flax case, right? So I'm hitting the flax.
Flax case, right.
I'm hitting the flax, and let's say things are shooting that way. So I hit it, and it hits Ari. So, I mean, that's not necessarily wind. That's just, if I hit it, then it's going to go that way.
Oh, excellent. So Yehuda's pointing out that we haven't really yet come to the case where you hit it one way, and as a result, it flies the other way.
Right.
It shoots off like a boomerang. Like, did you ever play handball against a wall, right? What do they call that game? Is that called handball?
Yeah.
So that game would be similar to the case of kach kocho, meaning it goes the other way, but because of your kach. We're not really, again, I don't know, you have to really know a lot about science over here, because maybe the wall itself generates a new energy for us. But for the time being, let's leave that out, because that's classified information, right? Let's assume that you can do something that swings around. What are those things called that swing around? Boomerangs. Yeah, let's say you throw a boomerang.
If the wind wasn't there, though, then, like, let's say I'm shaking off that all of a sudden a huge gust of wind. If it's a windy day, if I feel the wind coming, then I go, okay, like I'll shake and then the wind, fine. That's cool. That I know the wind's there and I'm going in the wind, which is probably my fault because I know.
Oh, you're definitely at fault if you know that the wind is coming.
If you don't know, then why is that?
Oh, so let's assume that we're talking about what's called a ruach mitsuya, which means it's a normal velocity wind. There's no surprises here. You know, anybody and their uncle understands how the wind is going to come and carry this lisaurus, this raksa, as the Gemara calls it. But from the fact that Ravina says, again, let's read the language, zeka hu dekamamti la, apparently there's another factor here that plays a role, another variable. And what is that variable? What does zeka mean? Zeka is an Aramaic word for what? Wind. For ruach. So what is Ravina analyzing the case of raksa simply because you're hitting it, you're banging on the flax in one direction, then the sores or the raksa is flying out in another direction?
No.
He's adding another element into the equation. What is that?
Wind.
The ruach. And he's saying this is not called kocho.
So he's not, so, right, I mean, I think this is what you just said, but let's say if I hit this wall really hard, then plaster from that side is going to go off in that way. So that's obviously a different direction. So he's not saying that the fact that it's going a different direction is what is making it not kocho. He's
correct.
Saying it's because it's going extra far because of the wind.
Correct.
Uh-huh. So So he's making a comparison.
And the real case that seems to be addressing the issue of opposite directions is going to be called Getz. Getz is a case where you hit, the blacksmith hits with his hammer onto the metal and sparks fly. There, it doesn't seem that the wind is the element, but rather it would seem that the force that you put in when you hit with the hammer, that's what causes the spark to go out. Correct? But here in the case of Raksa, what's causing the ultimate damage? What brings the contact between the Raksa and the person who is damaged? It's the wind. That's called Zeko Damamtila.
So he's making an Ukimta in this case, though. That there's, I guess, a lot of wind.
I wouldn't call it Ukimta because that, you know, he's just describing the reality. Ukimta is when you have a Mishnah Braisa that is unclear and you add some variables to it. You know, this is just the case that that happens. So Ravina is saying in this particular scenario, what caused the damage? Not the cork that you put in. You were hitting against the flax. As a result, the Raksa got lifted from the flax, got separated from the flax. But what actually did, what cork, what force brought about the hezek? Zeka hundamantile. Now, what is the premise there for Ravina as far as utilizing the forces of nature? Are they part of your koach? Well, they're separate. They're independent. They're not part of your koach. Now we're ready for the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara says, Maskif lo mabra vashi, maishno mizore veruach misayato. Does anybody here know what zore is?
Winnowing.
Winnowing, correct. Now, who actually creates the zore? The wind. Because what you do is you just throw it up in the air. If not for the wind, it'll fall right back down again. Everything's mishkabam. The chaff is there with the kernels of grain. What separates the chaff from the grain is clearly the wind. And yet, where does Zohar appear? If I want to find Zohar somewhere, where in Shabbos? In a Mishnah, the Gemara, Braisa, Tosefta. It's a Mishnah. Which Mishnah?
The one talking about.
Correct. That's called Klal Gadol. That's the Mishnah in Klal Gadol. You should know the name of it. The Mishnah in Klal Gadol says, Arboim Malachos Choser Achas. And it lists 39 malachas, one of which is Zora. So we know that you chayev on Shabbos for Zora. We know, therefore, that you can utilize the forces of nature, in this case the wind, says Rashi, a beautiful Rashi, here, take a look. Maishno mizora v'shabbos, three lines down from the top, the chayev, v'af al pisha ruach misayato, chashiv le ose malacha, which means it's chayev for Shabbos, as an ose malacha. Because malachas that happen automatically by themselves, you're not chayav for. You have to be the osa malacha. Alma, what do we see? Gire delay ninhu. What does that mean, gire delay? We say that gire delay is the same as koach adam. In other words, we're going to use Shabbos as our paradigm to determine that the forces of wind, to the extent to which they help him, are considered koach. And therefore it's giri delay. And therefore it should generate a chiyuv harchaka.
Shabbos is the same dinim as Mezikin in terms of koach, making you chayav and anything less than koach.
That's an excellent question. So for that, Yehudu, we have to start the shiur, which is Gemara Bava Kama. So let's look now in Bava Kama. And hopefully all the background that we gave, you know, you'll keep in mind. And the Gemara says the following. Tana Rabbanan, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, it's about eight lines down from the top. Liba v'libsa haruach, im yesh v'libuyo kidei l'labosa chayov, v'im lav potur. Okay, we're going to go through this line by line. And the Gemara is going to ask the following question. Amai, why is he potur lehevi kizore v'ruach misayato? Sound familiar? If you still have the Gemara in Babasa open, Maishno mizore v'ruach misayato. It's almost the cut and paste. Or copy and paste, I should say, right? Omar Abayi, hocha mayaskiniko shaliba mitzad echad v'libso haruach mitzad acher. Rav Amar kigon shaliba v'ruach mitzuya v'libso haruach v'ruach she'eno mitzuya. Rav Zera Amar kigon v'tzamra tzmure. Rashi says, He didn't really blow. El b'nishima, he just breathed like a heavy and hot breath of air that came out of his mouth. He went instead of blowing, and as a result, he was malaba the fire. But Rav Ashi has a whole revolutionary approach to this kasha. You're asking me from Alecha Zorev. Ki amrinan Zorev Ruach Mesayato. When do we apply the principle that we can utilize the force of nature, in this case the Ruach? Hani Milin Shabbos. Dim Alechas Machsheves Osre Torah. Whatever that means. Aval Hocha, but here in the case of the Zikin, specifically which Mazik are we talking about? Eish. Aval Hocha Grama Biyamahu. Ugrama bin Ezekin Patur. So as we go through this sugya, keep in mind Rav Ashi. Because what's Rav Ashi going to do at the very end of the sugya, the finale? What's the dramatic flair of Rav Ashi at the end of the sugya of Bava Kama Daf Sal?
If he wants it to happen or not.
No, but what fundamental distinction is he making? He's breaking new ground here. The Gemara asks, Maishno Mizore Varuch Mesayato. You see, from Zore, that's your paradigm case that you can utilize the forces of nature and it's considered kocho. You're the Osa Malacha. What does Rashi say? Ezra, can you say it one more time? You leave Abelech Machsheves, we'll come back to Blech's Machsheves. No, but I'm saying, what premise of the Machshon both in Bava Kama and in Bava Basra, does Rav Ashi completely shatter to smithereens? What premise is the Gemara operating with in its question? A equals B. What's A equals B in the premise of the Machshon?
You assume that Girdle would equal to Koach, would equal.
No,
that's not my point, because then you're not going to be able to answer how Rav Ashi smashed it to smithereens.
Nezikin and Shabbos are working the same thing.
Excellent. That Nezikin and Shabbos are equal. If in Shabbos, Ruach is considered part of my Koach, therefore, so facto, I can derive a conclusion that Nezikin, Ruach is considered part of my Koach. Comes over Rav Ashi, he bangs on the table, and he says, no! Tzvei dinim. Nezikin l'chud and Shabbos l'chud. By the way, as soon as you see a distinction of that sort, what question do you have to ask? This is for those who like a little methodology, you know, I like to give them the secrets of the Talmud. Good. What was that mean in the Machshon? But I meant something else, Ezra. When you see a move that the Gemara makes in which two areas of halacha are to be separated and divided rather than equated, what should be your next move? What question should automatically arise in your mind? Which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule?
I mean, here he gives two separate reasons. Here he says, Allah's grandma. They each have their own.
Correct. But let's say if we'd stop the Gemara, freeze the Gemara mid-air, and just read the first line, because this is going to ask, then I'm going to ask my question that you just asked about why the Gemara adds another one. You know, Kalamosiv Gorea here. If I just read the first line, Hani Mili Le'inyan Shabbos.
So that would be the exception.
Excellent. Does everybody see that? What Ezra just pointed out? Hani Mili Le'inyan Shabbos means once the Gemara is restricting it, you wanted to derive a principle from X, in this case from Shabbos. No, Hani Mili Le'inyan X. So which is the exception to the rule? Shabbos. Which means that as a general rule, for example, if we'll apply our definitions to Hilchas, Netilas Yadayim where you need Koach HaAdam, to Shechita where you need Koach HaAdam, to Nezikin where you need Koach HaAdam, what's going to be the general rule? Do I integrate the Ruach into my Maisa, into Koach HaAdam or not? I do not. Oh, and to proof of the pudding is the next four words. Demeleches Machsheves Asra Torah. What does that prove to us?
That's unique. Because the Torah ran out of its way to say that's Asra. Implying that in general cases that's not.
Correct. The fact that the Gemara introduces a mechanism that works in Shabbos and works nowhere else. Who can tell me what famous principles we derive from Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah that don't apply anywhere else in any other area of halacha? Anybody know? I mean, just tell you, did you learn Masechta Shabbos?
Never should have gotten
it. Well, that's very sophisticated, you. I'll tell you what. Tosus in Masechta Yuma, and I'm impressed that you know the Tosus.
I don't know.
You don't know the Tosus? okay. want to give you the benefit of the doubt. It's one of the longest Tosfos in Shas. I mean, it's the scariest thing. I mean, it's like there's like one line of Gemara and the rest is Tosfos. So Tosfos says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Davar Shem is Kavin is Osir, that's only in Kol Tarkula. But he agrees that in Shabbos, Davar Shem is Kavin is Potter. Because Melechus Machshavos Osir. But that's already very sophisticated.
I think it's like if you were dragging a chair and started
uprooting. What's that called? Dragging a chair.
The Torah should be the issue that you'd be over on.
And what's the principle? Why are you Potter in that case? This is Rabbi Shimon's famous principle. I'll give you a hint. It starts with the word Melech. Does that help at all? No. Malacha she'ena, tzricha. No, that's already back to Davar Shem is Kavin. Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Okay, what's malacha she'ena tzricha legufa? Something that doesn't exist anywhere in any halacha except for Shabbos. It's a Shabbos halacha. It means that I need the dirt. I don't need the hole in the ground. Maleches choresh, which is a preparatory stage for planting for zriya, means I need to break the ground so I can put the I can sow the seed. Here I'm not sowing any seeds; I just need the dirt. So I dig a hole, not because I want to dig a hole. For my part, the ground can remain flat; it wouldn't make any difference to me. I need the ground. That's called malach shen tzricha legufo. And I'm part, says Rav Shimon, because of maleches machshavos. What else? I'll give you a hint. Here. I just wrote two letters. What melech is that?
Kosev.
Kosev. Am I chayev? Two letters I wrote. Yeah. Two beautiful letters.
Yeah.
Potter. Why?
Left hand.
I did my left hand. See, I'm a writer. You didn't know I was a writer. Right? That's why I tricked you. You probably thought I was a left.
Total passing.
So that's called, anybody know what that's called?
Shinui.
Shinui, or another term for it, I'm just pumping you with a lot of information, Kil'achar Yad. For example, watch this. Am I chayev in Shabbos for this? I wrote two letters like this. Not chayev. In Kol HaTorah Kula, I'd be chayev for such a thing. And if I wrote a get, which requires because of law, if I wrote a Kil'achar Yad on my left hand, the get would be kosher. Only in Shabbos, there's Halacha Melechus Machshavos, and therefore Kil'achar Yad is put. Why isn't it Maleches Machshavos?
Why isn't it
Maleches Machshavos? So here you have a major machlokas, but we're going to go with Shita Satosis. Tosis Shita is that all the malachas are derived from Mishkan, and you've got to do it in the same way it was done in the Mishkan. That's called Maleches Machshavos. And the fact that they did it in the Mishkan in a particular way sets up restrictions and circumscribes the nature of the chiyuv of Shabbos in such a way that Shabbos becomes unique and it's different than any other chiyuv. So therefore Mekalkel is potter in Shabbos, because in Mishkan they never did it, but Mekalkel. Shi'urim, there are certain minimum amounts that you don't find in other Isurim. For example, perhaps Ein Bishlach or Bishl is a separate Shabbos halacha. Everything is restricted to the way they did the malach in the Mishkan. Not only the way they did the malach, which is called Tzuras HaMalach, but even the purpose of the malacha, the intention of the malacha, that's also limited by Mishkan. So therefore Tosfos writes in Masechta Shabbos that malach shen tzrich legufa is not the way they did it in Mishkan. And that's why Rav Shimon says you put. And you have Kalachar Yad, and you have Davar Shem Miskavin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tosfos, is potter in Shabbos because it's not Dumi in the Mishkan, it's a separate Petur of Malachas Machshavos. But here's my question to you. But don't fall into my trap. Because you've seen the Gemara Bava Kamma. Hint, hint. Right? Is Maleches Machshavos a Kula in Shabbos or a Chumra in Shabbos? Ah, you're afraid to answer because I told you not to fall into my trap. I shouldn't have given you that introduction.
I think it's a Kula, so I guess it's a
Chumra. It's a Kula in 99 out of 100 cases. It really is a Kula. And that should be your knee-jerk response, because as a result, you're potter from Lach Shein Tzrichu Gufa, Dor Shein Miskaveh, Kalachar Yad, Mekalkel, and who knows what else is on the list. Correct. Here we find it as a chum. And that's a pella. Why is it that Maleches Machshavos is always a kula except for this sugya?
Because that's how they did it in the Mishkan. They did it with Krum in the Mishkan, so then that's like a special case.
Okay. Did you have any case in mind?
I mean, this case. This case, I mean, also, I was going to say this before.
Sorry, you mean?
Yeah. The fact that he says, I mean, he is saying that this case is Grama and Grama by Shabbos is Pater. He's just saying the bigger picture is that it's Malachas Machshavas. Meaning, and since we just said that thing about Malachas Machshavas, according to Tosos, equals what they did in the Mishkan. So even though this is Grama and every other case of Shabbos is Pater, right. This case, since they did it Grama in the Mishkan, is going to be Malachas Machshavas and equals Chayav.
Excellent. Do you know of any other malacha where the same logic will apply? That we're going to do it the way it was done in the Mishkan, and therefore, even though it's not really Koach HaAdam, you're chayav from Malach HaShabbos. Choresh. What's Choresh? Plowing. What do you plow with? Who or what actually does the plowing?
Animal.
It's the animal. The animal plows. You ride the animal. You activate the animal. But the animal does the malacha. It's very similar to Zora. So just like in Zora, you set up the wind to winnow the Tvuah. So now when the Tvuah comes down, it's free of its chaff. So too in the case of Choresh, you set up the animal. The animal, once it's activated, does the actual plowing, but yet you're chayef from Malachas Choresh. And that's called Malachas Machshavas. If that's the way the Malacha is done, and your paradigm is the Mishkan, you'll be chayef. So Malachas Machshavas is really a mixed bag. It's not fair to ask the question, is it Lekula or Lekumra? Generally, it's Lekula, but it could be Lekumra as well. Because if the Mishkan sets up the standards for what's considered a Malacha, in such a way that this Tzuras HaMalacha is done in the Mishkan to achieve its goal, you'll be Chayav for that on Shabbos, even though in other Malachas you would not be Chayav. So that's why I say that it's interesting, it's fascinating that Malachas Machshavas can go either way. This sugya is the prime sugya for Malachas Machshavas L'chumra. And therefore, Hani Milin in Shabbos means that Shabbos is the exception to the rule. What rule therefore would apply as far as Ruach in Kol HaTorah Kula? Can we utilize the Ruach or not utilize the Ruach? We can't, it's not part of the Maaseh Adam. It becomes Grama.
Why are we attacking our Gemara from an exception? And you said there's only really two cases where it's the Chumra, so why are we bringing that in?
I'll tell you why, because the very fact that the Gemara pins it on Malachas Machshavas, that automatically should trigger off in your mind. You know, Lamdin is very, you know, the certain things that he jumps out of his chair when he hears Malachas Machshavas. Oh, that's what we call in Yiddish a bezundere halachah Shabbos. It's a separate halachah Shabbos. Do you understand? That's something that should be a knee-jerk response. So if I ask in any breakthrough, as we said before, Rav Ashi's making a breakthrough, you have no right to compare Shabbos to Nezikin. And we ask the question, therefore, as we should always do as a matter of rote, methodologically, we have to pump ourselves up, just like they, you know, you pump iron, or for example, if you're, you know, if you're a basketball player or whatever sport you're into, you have to exercise. If you're doing judo or karate, you know, it becomes an order. Ultimately, for example, even in tennis, if you're well trained in tennis, you don't even have to think twice. You just go through the swing. You know, it's almost like an intuitive knee-jerk response because you've exercised. You should always exercise yourself, train yourself. When you see the Gemara making a distinction between A and B, two areas of halacha, which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule. And the clue to find the answer is sometimes in the language of the Gemara, but more often it's in the fact that the Gemara invokes some sort of principle which you can identify as a unique principle, what Reb Chaim would call a din mesuyam, that only applies in the confines of one area. And this is a perfect example. Okay, let's go through the Gemara line by line and see what sense we can make out of it. Tana Rabban, Liba v'libsa haruach. How do you translate that conceptually? Again, not literally. He blew the Aish, and the Ruach blew the Aish. But conceptually, how would you...
There's two forces.
Two forces working together, correct? Simultaneously.
Same direction.
We're integrating, they're working together, they're trying to get this flame up high, right? To make it a dangerous mazik. Chai? Good. So what do we see? Basically, are we integrating the Ruach into his Koach HaAdam or not?
Yeah.
We are. Fascinating. That itself should send bells, you know, red bells going off in our brain. Because ultimately, Rav Ashi at least is going to wave the flag that you cannot integrate Ruach and make it into Koach HaAdam except in Shabbos, which is Melechus Machshavos. But here the Bryce itself, right up front, seems to be integrating the Ruach into his Koach HaAdam.
Are we saying that he also needs the help of the Ruach in order to get the action done? In order to push the fire, he needs an additional Koach?
I don't know. This is an excellent question that has to be thrown out. This is what the Gemara calls Nizruka Mifnei Chaburu. You know, it was thrown in amongst the colleagues.
Right? Because I mean,
like what would incline you in the direction to say that his libui alone could have done the action? That really the Ruach is insignificant here in this case.
Because in every case there's always gonna be like a little bit of wind. Like if I throw a baseball in the head, there's always like a little bit of wind. And yet we still say it's like,
well, no, I mean, I'm asking you, in a perfect world there may be situations where there's no wind at all. I don't know, you know, Seattle probably doesn't that, but there may be places on the face of the earth where at certain times of the year there's zero wind. So I wouldn't go that direction. I would go in a different direction. Again, let's argue from the elimination of the other stand. Now, what I want to show you, there are two possibilities here in understanding liba v'libsa ruach, the ratio, where you chayev, and we're going to exclude one of them, and therefore by possible elimination, we're going to fall into the other one. Okay? So let's go over the two possibilities. Possibility number one is that your libui could do the job. It has the potential inherently to do the job from A to Z and set up this Aish, what should we call it? I need a word here, a ferocious Aish. Like, give me a good adjective, you know, it's a dangerous fire. Okay, we'll call it that. What I mean is a fire that if left alone, any wind, normal wind, will carry it and blow up somebody, you know, burn up somebody's gutter, somebody's haystack, right? So again, possibility number one is that the wind is playing a secondary role here. Possibility number two is that it's 50-50. I need the force and the energy of the libui of the gavra, together with the libui of the ruach. Each participates 50%, and 50 plus 50, you get 100. Okay?
The guy is secondary, the wind is primary. The first one was that the guy was primary, the wind was secondary. The second one is that both of them are contributing equal amount. The one could be that the wind is primary.
Correct.
And just to clarify, the first time I said this, because Ezra mentioned, like it obviously specifies that there is wind. So I think the first one is that, I mean, it could be, or you can separate into two categories, is that he's the primary, and the wind, if he wasn't blowing, the wind would also have enough cough to do that, but he's the primary. And another one, that he's the primary and the wind.
Wait, if the wind, when you say he's the primary, you mean in actuality he blew and made it into a shalheves, into a dangerous fire. But you're saying even if he wouldn't have blown,
the wind had the potential to. That was
your third possibility. Am I right, Ezra?
I'm just thinking the fact that the Gemara goes and includes Lipsa, or Liba and Lipsa, shows you that, I guess, they're both equally important. They're both giving an equal amount of what's it called?
So the language of the Braisa, if you only had the language at first reading, would indicate it's 50-50, correct? Right?
But just because they're both giving the same doesn't mean that it's 50-50. As in, I could be, me and the wind could both be the same force, but it could be, like, if I did it by myself, I'd be able to blow it myself also.
So you're just making an important point here. In other words, what we have to do is ask two questions. Number one is ask what happened before 50-50, and we can ask what would have happened if you didn't have the other 50. You know, so you could always, the theoretical possibility. But let me get back to your point, Ezra. Let's focus on the following scenario. The wind had the power, the energy, to do the job on its own. Belishum Ezra, you know, didn't need any help from anybody. What would be the svara to say that in that case, clearly, he's put?
Because he didn't really do anything.
I need a word here. I'm sorry, I don't know if you'll come up with it. If the Ruach had the power, a regular velocity wind that we can anticipate is going to happen, to blow this fire, you know, to heaven, to the high heavens, what element now, in terms of the Hezek, enters center stage?
Should
it
be
honest?
Because he didn't.
No. He's not honest. Ones Ezra means that he's guiltless. This guy's he's guilty. I mean, he did the libui. But what would have happened without him is that the Ruach would have done the Libui. The Gansel Libui, from A to Z. What does that set up in terms of the Hezek? If it would have happened anyway, what's that called? In evitability, right? Inevitable. I'll give you a case. There's a famous sugya in Masechet Avodah, maybe you remember. Reuven goes up to a roof and he throws a glass off the roof. Shimon comes along with a baseball bat, and before the glass hits the ground, he smashes the glass.
Also,
correct.
He's saying over here also as well.
So the Gemara uses the following language in that sugya. It says over there, Mana Tvira Katama. What does that mean, Mana Tvira Katama? Why is Shimon Potter? Why is Shimon Potter?
Because Shimon's the thrower or Shimon's the batter?
No, Shimon is the batter. Not the thrower, the batter. Mana Tvira Katama. I didn't translate those words. Mana is a clean. Tvira, broken. Katama, he broke.
He broke already, smashed.
He broke him
through it. It's considered broken.
Correct. This reminds me, just in a Maimar Muzgar, of a sugya in many places in Shas and Sanhedrin. Bach is called Gavra Ketila Katok. Right. That's called a gosei, not a gosei, say, what's it called? Gavra Ketila.
It comes about the case where you have like 10 people meeting a person. So do you say the first guy, do you say the last guy, do they flow, or do you say it?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if we want to get into that. But what I meant to say is if you kill a treifa, correct. If you kill a treifa, horig is a treifa.
I was thinking of,
I just want to say one thing. The parallel to horig is a treifa in the Zikin is this concept called mana tvira katova. And what concept really, you can't call it, you can't really technically use the word treifa to describe the kli, but you could use that concept that we mentioned before of what? Of inevitability. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. So that's why, take a look at Tosus here. I believe that Tosus insists, he says, Bisha'ein beruach bifnei atzmo, kidei lelamos mairi. The case must be by definition that what? What kind of ruach are we dealing with? If he's chayv. Again, the ratio is chayv.
It was good enough by itself.
The ruach couldn't have done the job by itself.
Right.
And look how he analyzes from by eliminating the other possibility. He says, if the case is where the ruach was strong enough to create this powerful, dangerous fire, is afilu kishiyesh belibuyo hamalaba belibuyo hamalaba kidei lelabos lama yischayer. Now, what are the next four words in Tosfos? Next five words.
The Belavi,
what does that mean? Without him, Nami, Oyolichu Mazik. What does that sound like?
The
inevitability. It seems that Tosfos is working with inevitability. So now we've whittled down our possibilities. We've eliminated the possibility that the Ruach, according to Tosfos, has the capacity to do the job from A to Z and set up the libui so that he has a dangerous H. Correct?
Like a halakhic term called inevitability. What do you call it? Like
inevitability?
Yeah, saying halakhic terms.
In halakhic terms, it means you didn't accomplish anything because it would have happened anyway.
So does that have like a name?
The name for it is either gavra ketila katal or manetvira katal.
Why don't we say, this might be a little bit of a stretch, but I mean, like, there's that Gemara Makos by Ein Zomen, where the Ein Zomen said, oh, he divorced his wife, and then we found out that they're Ein Zomen, but then they got divorced anyways right afterwards.
Right? Oh, I don't know. That's something I'm not familiar with.
All right, so I think that's the case. So basically, it goes through, like, what exactly they do, because Lemaisa, he's getting divorced the next week anyways. So, you know, we have to give them what they tried to do to him, but they just tried to divorce him a week early. So why do you say the same thing over here? Like, yeah, it would have happened. It would have happened with the wind, but he did bring it about earlier, which could have, like, let's say, caused more damage.
And how is that different you to the case of Mona Tzviu Katova?
Because that's like literally it would have been like a millisecond later.
Say that. What is unique about Mona Tzviu Katova? Go back to the board, to the drawing board, and tell me what elements do I need A, B, and C to set up a Chiyuv Mazik. Okay, number one, what do I need?
Cool.
I need a Maisa Adam, right? Kol HaKadam. That's called a Maisa Hezek. What else do I need?
object.
I need the object. We've discussed it at great length. Remember the sugya of Rabban Abaye at the beginning of this parak. We need a Tovrat Nizak. Where would you place the halacha that you put to in the case of one Tamir Katova? Is it a din in the lack or the absence of a Maisa Hezek? Or is it a din in the Chefta and the Dovra Nizak?
Dovra Nizak.
It's a din in the Dovra Nizak. The Dovra Nizak is already considered what?
Nizak.
Nizak. It's destroyed. It's kabut. Same thing in the case of Gavra Ketila Kakata. There's nothing lacking or deficient in your Maisa Ritzicha, but you didn't kill anybody. Because halachically, the person you killed was a Gavra Ketila. That's not what's going on here. We're not looking at the... can I say gedishim in English? The haystacks in a radius of chleis 25 amma around this age. That's not what we're doing. In fact, the ruach will decide in which direction it will take it. There's no gavra ketila. There's no mana tavira katam. What we're trying to say is a brand new halacha. The Tosfos is revolutionary, and I don't know where he gets it from. That if Reuven does a hezek, but even barring Reuven's hezek, the hezek would have occurred, then Reuven's maisa hezek is not a maisa hezek. I don't know where Tosfos knows that. As you pointed out very well, Yehuda, he was the one who actually brought out the hezek, brought it into reality in the way it happened. But let's go back to the drawing. Again, we've excluded, according to Tosfos, the case where the ruach could have done the job on its own. Now what are we left? What are the next two possibilities? Focus on the ruach for a minute.
That the ruach helped out, or that it was just there?
Okay, did it help out in a major way? Meaning, without the ruach, the libui of the gavra wouldn't have kicked in. Or, the ruach is not a 50%. The ruach echveis will give it 10%. Does anybody know what that's called in halacha, when the ruach only is there, but it would have happened through the person without the ruach? I'll give an example. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are carrying a trunk from Rishus Aram to Rishus Ayom. Very heavy trunk. But Reuven is a muscle man. Okay, if you didn't follow the shit till now, wake up now. This is a good point to... Right? Reuven's is a muscle man. Okay, we'll demonstrate this, right? Of course, I'm going to have to be the muscle man. I mean, that comes without saying. That's something like Rabbi Bamberg would say, you know what I mean? Anyway, so it's a very heavy trunk, right? And now Yehuda, you grab onto it, we carry it together. Now, Yehuda's contribution, we'll call it, is 10%. But what would be if Yehuda lets go? It won't fall. Do you know what that's called? Again, Yehuda contributed 10%, but even without him, I would have done it myself. Because I would have picked up the slack. That's called Misayeh. Okay, and this is a major machlokas in Shas, whether Misayeh yesh bo mamish, or... Ain bo mamish. We paskin that Misayeh ain bo mamish. So what's going to happen now? I'm chai. I'll be chai for this hotzah, even though what percentage of the hotzah did I put into motion?
90%.
I'm chai. What do you mean for 90%? You're not chai. The answer is because since I could have done it without Yehuda, therefore it's as if I did it myself. That's this new halach of Misayeh ain bo mamish. How would you plug that in to our case in the Bryce and the ratio of the Bryce of Liba Velipsa Ruach? The Bryce says in the ratio in Yeshbili Buyo Kidela Lavos Chayef. But wait a minute, you just finished telling me it's Liba Velipsa Ruach. Aren't you contradicting yourself?
So you didn't really need the one.
Exactly. And what does the wind become now?
Messiah.
We pass him Messiah in Bamash. Is Mimela, if I needed the wind and I couldn't do it without the wind, if it was a 50-50 joint effort, Liba Velipsa Ruach, what would be the din?
I'd
be put.
Because then it would be Messiah.
Because then it's not a Messiah. Then it's what's called Ze'ein Yochel, V'Ze'ein Yochel. And they're both put. So let's go back to our paradigm. Here you can go. It's very, very heavy. Okay? Okay. Now you also said, but together we can lift it. Who's Chayev?
Nobody.
Why? Zayin Yochel, there's any of it. None of us. If I let go, Yehuda's going to drop it. If Yehuda lets go, I'll drop it. None of us individually have the power and the energy to carry it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. That's called Zayin Yochel, V'Zayin Yochel.
But what about if it's both of them contribute the same amount, but Zayin Yochel, V'Zayin Yochel? So you can say one's helping the other one. As in like, let's say there's a little fire here. So obviously I could blow it by myself, but I don't. I just go like softly, and the wind.
Oh, so you're already up to Zera, and then all the terrors. But you just give me a minute. What I wanted to gain here, and we'll have to end the shiur now, right? What time do we end the shiur?
I think 1 officially.
Oh, 1 officially. So maybe we can add another 5 minutes. Here's what I want to tell you. Remember, we started with 3 possible scenarios of Liba Melibsa Ruach Chayav, the ratio of the price. Let's go over the 3 possibilities. One possibility was that the Ruach could have done it without his Libui, but his Libui did it from A to Z independent. Okay? The second possibility was that the Ruach does nothing really. He does it all, but the Ruach sort of adds a little force to it. We call that 10%. And the third possibility is where both the Libui and the Ruach, independent, alone, could not achieve this goal of making the Shalhevis into a dangerous fire. Together, 50-50, they joined hands and created a Libui. Those are the 3 possibilities. Now let's go through each one. Could it be that the Ruach would have been able to do the job alone?
No,
because that would come under what klal? A balav iu nami havi. What's the language in Tosis? Let's just quote the Tosis. Balav.
Balav iu
nami haya holich umas. Good. So it can't be that the ruach independently could do the job of libui. Now we go to that second possibility. Let's fall down. Supposing the libui does 50% and he does 50%. What's that called? Zeni Yochel. What's the din in Zeni Yochel? Zeni Yochel. We need both of them to carry this weight, the heavy weight. They're both potter. Again, the ruach is potter, is irrelevant, like you said before. So the ruach is not a gabbai, but he's potter because he couldn't do it. Now we come to our third possibility, our possible elimination. He could do it on his own, but the ruach contributed to the actual libui b'fah. That's called liba v'libsa ruach.
Which is
Messiah. That's Messiah, Ein Bo Mamish. The Ruach is Messiah, Ein Bo Mamish. It's Kavad Lesser Domi, Ein Bo Mamish, and he's Chayev. He's Memela. Now we'll read the Brice according to Tosis. This is fascinating. Toner Abonon, Liva Velibsa Ruach. And what was our impression when we first read it? You remember, Ezra, if we turn the clock back, what was our impression?
50-50.
That it was 50-50. I mean, that's how we read it. Oh, no. Im yesh bilibuyo kidei l'labos chayov. What does it mean, yesh bilibuyo kidei labosa?
If his blowing was good enough.
Was good enough that even without the ruach, his libui was powerful enough, had enough energy force to create a dangerous age.
Does that mean
that's a whole shot in the price?
Does that mean that?
And that's what Tosis says.
Does that mean that he has the potential, like lung capacity, that he could do it, or that actual breath that he blew has
that? The breath that he blew. It's got to be the breath that he's blew. But at the end of the day, his breath got an extra force, an extra push from the ruach. That's what I call the 10%. Let's look at Tosis inside. I want to show you the language, because otherwise, you know, you'll think I invented this whole thing. He says, B'she'ein b'ruach b'fnei atzmo k'dei l'labos ma'iri. It cannot be that you're chayev in the case where the ruach has independently enough power, enough force and velocity to create a libui, meaning to create a shalhevis, that is a dangerous fire. The imishyesh lo kidei l'labos, then automatically it becomes a situation of belav iu nami hoya holich umasik. Even though his libui is also kidei l'labos, but it doesn't matter, because in this case Tosus invokes the principle of belav iu nami hoya holich umasik. Now, when I see the words "Belav iu nami hayaholich umazik," what kind of question do I have to ask myself? Again, we're back to methodology.
So let's say it could have.
No, remember I was teaching you methodology about whether this is a rule or an exception to the rule. How would you plug that in here? Again, I'm trying to train you, you know, so that you'll be like those sports people, that they get enough training that it automatically, you know, you don't have to think about it. Is this the exception to the rule? If this is the exception to the rule, then what? In what capacity? In what area of halacha are you circumscribing it? Are you limiting it? You know, you're putting up fences around it. Iu nami hayaholich umazik. It's a separate halacha in what? Again, if it's not, one possibility is to say it's not an exception to the rule, but rather it's a rule. It's a general rule that whenever you do something in halacha, the halacha will always view your action and ask the question, would it have happened anyway? Is it inevitable? And you just chapped and see, you got in there early. That's making it into a universal rule. If we make it into a specific rule and we want to limit it, the general rule is that whatever you create, you're obligated to suffer the damages and the consequences, despite the fact that it would have happened inevitably later down the line through some other agency. Here it's a separate rule. What's here? H-E-R-E. What's
Shabbos?
No. We're not talking about Shabbos. Tosis is not even getting up to Shabbos yet. He's not ready for Shabbos. It's only Wednesday. Okay. Rather what? Or H. Now, how am I going to figure out whether Tosis is saying a halacha nizikin? That any mazik, whether it's shor, bar, odom, anything, we always say, well, balaviyu, nami kaviyu mazik. You know, even without him, it would have happened. Or is Tosis saying a specific halacha nish? What's going to be my, you know, as a detective, Sherlock Holmes, what kind of clue am I going to look for?
If he says anything about ish specifically?
If he quotes a pasuk about ish. If Tosis will quote a pasuk about Eish, that's a dead giveaway, that this halacha belav iu nami ko mazik is halacha in what? In Eish. Okay, keep that in mind. Keep your tentacles up for the next 5 minutes, and I'm going to try to present an answer to this question. Says Tosis el vadai, by prosimulation, kishe'ein beruach kedei labos mayim. So the ruach itself is not powerful enough to create this libu. Ulekach. What's Tosis excluding now? He doesn't even mention it, but by implication, what does he exclude? When he says ulekach, kishayesh bilibuyo kidei lelabos chayav hamalav. That it's not a case of what? Of 50-50. Do you see that? He is, you know, it's like sideswiping the case of 50-50. It can't be 50-50. Because then he wouldn't be chayav. When could it be chayav? Only if the malaba has the power to be malaba alone, independent of the ruach. But that's impossible, because what does the Brisa say? Liba v'lipsa ruach. You can't tell me he did it through his limud. It says in the Brisa, liba v'lipsa ruach. Oh, he says the following. He says, ki hu osa kol, Dahavi kimo ze yachol v'zeino yachol dechashiv eino yachol misayeya sheino mamish. So what's he telling us about the ruach here? Did the ruach contribute to the ultimate libui?
Yeah.
Yes, it did. But under what capacity did it contribute? Misaya. What does misaya mean?
Look, like it's helping out.
That what?
It contributed, but without that, he still did it
better. Exactly. That it would have happened anyway. Correct. And that's a sugya in Perek HaMatznian. It gives you mar mokum. It's very nice. This Tosis is much like a Rosh Hashiva giving a shiur. It's unbelievable. The pedagogy of Tosis is. V'im ein v'libuyo kidei l'labos. Oh, now we get back to the 50-50 case. His libui would not be enough to accomplish the libui. Afal pishagab haruach ein bo kidei l'labos. So it's 50-50. They both need each other. Pot. Okay? And now I ask you, is that a separate halacha in Eish? Is it a general halacha? Let's read the next line. The lo mechayev mishum isho ella im kain osa kol kach b'fnei atzmo b'lo siyua haruach o'dovar acher sheyuchal lahazik beruach mitzuya achar gmar ha'maisa shalo the hochi mashma ha'mavir es ha'be'era shebifnei atzmo osa es ha'be'era sheyuchal lahazik beruach mitzuya. What did Tosis just do? Did he quote a pasuk? You didn't notice it? He quoted a pasuk. See, the trouble is that in the Tosis as it's printed, he doesn't tell you where the pasuk is. It's in Parshas Mishpatim. Which pasuk is he quoting?
Yeah.
Hamavres Abeira. From the fact that Tosis quotes the pasuk Hamavres Abeira, what do you see? He's saying Aloch and Eish. The Torah is only Mechayev if you create a Be'era. What's a Be'era? How do you define a Be'era, conceptually?
Fire.
Any fire is a Be'era? Only a fire which? If the wind comes and takes it from place X, location X, to location Y, it'll damage. That's called a Be'era. So therefore, you have to be the Maveres HaBe'era. That means you have to create an Eish, such that after you finish whatever you finish, again, you can have a Messiah kind of situation, but what you put into it is enough that this Eish is called a Be'era. You are the Maveres HaBe'era. Ulekach kan potur. Here is he's going to be potter in a case where his libui would not be enough. To belav libui, if not for the ruach, lo hoisa yechol lahazik. So it's not a mavir as a beira. Val libui dainu gmaras yosa lo osa malav b'fnei atzmo. So under what circumstances can we say that the malava did what we call a gmar asiyah, which is called hamavir as a beira? What would be the case in which the Malava is considered the Gemar HaMaisa? He comes under the category of HaMavir as a Be'era.
If he did most of it?
If he created an Eish, which if left to the throes of a normal velocity wind will be carried from one place to the other, what's going to happen?
It'll burn, it'll damage.
And then the Gemara asks, am I Potur? Why should it be Potur? If his Libui is not sufficient, if he needs to use what? The Ruach. Lehevi, it should be equal to Kisha Osa Libui Aidei Siyua Ruach Ki Ilu Osa Bifnei Atzma. What is Tosus saying in those two lines? What concept is Tosus introducing here? And therefore he concludes that even in the Sefer, where his Libui is not enough independent, he needs the Ruach, he should still be Chai. Again, why does Tosus think, in explaining the Mara's question against the Braisa, that even though his Libui would not create an Eish, nevertheless he should be Chayv? Says Tosus, Uparcha, my Potter. Why is he Potter? Lehevi let it be kisha ose ha Libui al yidei siyua haruach. And then, ke'ilu osam ifnei atzmo. He becomes the Maveres HaBe'era. Again, I don't know what you mean by Messiah, because again, Messiah ain't Momach, so that's not going to tell you why he should be Chayav. Tosu's goal is to explain the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara thinks he should be Chayav in this case.
Because
he's Potter in the Sefer. It says, if Ein Belibuyo Kedei Lo Labos, he's Potter. Tosu says no. He should be Chayav. Why?
Because
Koch
Acher is like Koch Acher.
Correct. Integration. We integrate the forces of nature into his mice. But why does Mura think that you should? What was the premise? What was the proof to the Makshan that you should be able to integrate the Ruach into his Koach and expand his Koach to include that which he achieves together with the help of the Ruach? Zoro Mafaru. That's what Tosa says, and with this we'll conclude. Uparach Amai Potter. You have it? Lehevi kisha osa halibui al yidei siyua ruach ilu osa hu, I would add the word, bifnei atzma. Kimo, and where do I know this from? Le'inyan Shabbos. Dechoshim zore veruach misayato ke osa bifnei atzma. What does it mean, ke osa bifnei atzma? It's like his koach. So tomorrow, bli neder, we'll try to understand the various answers in the Gemara to the Gemara's Kash. Until we get to the finale, which is Rav Ashi, who says that Shabbos is different, that you can't derive from Shabbos, that the Koach, the Ruach, is integrated into his Koach. Okay then?